Hello and welcome to another edition of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. This is your host, John Jantz, and my guest today is me again. I know that I've done a few of these to you guys, but I keep getting lots of requests for them, so I'm going to continue to do these solo sort of rants occasionally. Don't worry, I'm going to have great guests as well. I've got a bunch of them lined up, but for this week, it's me again. Today's topic, I'm going to talk about content. Now, I know that most people are sick of hearing about the word content, and quite frankly, it's one of those that gets batted around so much, but I wonder if we really even know what it means or if we're defining it or if we all define it differently. And so I'm going to just really kind of try to put it in a bucket that hopefully defines it, what it is, why we need to be doing it, the types of content we need to be producing, really because, in my opinion, it's become a key sort of strategic plank of the entire marketing system, and it's not simply something you do to fill out a blog or fill out a web page or produce marketing material. It's actually become something, in my opinion, much more strategic than that. If that's going to be the case, if we're going to accept that to be true, then one of the things that I think we have to start doing is start looking at our content as an entire body of work. I often tell people to think in terms of even a like an author might approach a book, that we wouldn't just sit down and say, I think I'll write something today, or I heard something on the news today, I think I'll write something about that, that we would actually decide, here's the major thesis of the book. Here are the plots, the subplots, the themes, the characters, the chapters of the book, and that we kind of sketch that out and think in terms of anytime we want to write content, anytime we produce content, that we're actually filling in one of those chapters or one of those major themes. Now, certainly leaving room for things that will change. Things do change in every industry as time progresses, but that we kind of have that map. Maybe even we'd call it an editorial calendar that we would produce, that we would say, over time, we know we need to write articles and blog posts and do webinars and produce ebooks that fit into all of these themes. And of course, the best way to think about our themes is a list of keywords and keyword phrases that our clients or prospects might put into a search engine. To me, those are the things we need to be first and foremost writing content about. Now, you can have your industry, your methodology, your products and services that you're writing about, but you always, in my opinion, will get the biggest bang for your buck if you're couching any of your writing in terms of the major themes or phrases, keyword phrases that your prospects and customers would be putting into a search engine. And of course, we also need to think in terms of the forms of this content and know that people want to consume video and audio and they want to read it and they want to get it on their iPads and they want to get it on their iPhones and they want to be able to subscribe to it. And so we have to also think in terms of the distribution, the various formats. And the good news about that is in many cases you can turn one or two or three pieces of content into another format and use it in other ways that will still produce value. It's not duplicating it, but it allows you to duplicate your efforts. Okay, let's talk about the types of content. I think that there are essentially five kinds of content. I'm sure we could argue that there are 50, but five reasons to create content, and certainly there's tons and tons of crossover for all of them. I think the kinds of content that we need to be looking at is content that builds trust, content that educates, customer-generated content, other people's content, and then content that closes, that actually does the work of moving somebody who has been educated and that we've built trust, moves them towards actually deciding they want to purchase from us as well. And I think that's a part that a lot of people neglect to think in terms of. So this first one, content that builds trust. Now, one of the sort of side paths that I want to give here is that all of this content, as long as it's shared on line is something that helps us with our SEO. In fact, it's probably, if you're looking for a really practical reason to get started blogging or to regularly start producing and sharing content online, it's the immediate boost that you'll get in the search engine rankings. And I'm not suggesting that that's the only reason to do it, but if you're thinking, gosh, how do I get started? This is a lot of work. That, to me, is the quickest payoff. So when I talk about this category of trust, I actually throw SEO somewhat into that, because one of the things that happens is, even if somebody says, oh, you've got to go get this great report, or you need to hire this person, they're awesome, the first thing they do is they go and they check you out online. And so they put in your name or the name of your company. And if I believe that if all they're finding is your website and they're not finding lots of other content, lots of other people talking about your content and linking to your content, and maybe lots of other places that you're hanging out sharing content, I think that's a trust eroder. So I throw this kind of into the category I throw all of the SEO benefit into the category of trust as well. So what other content actually builds trust? I believe that just basic how-to content or lists of how to do things builds trust. Certainly reviews from other folks, whether it's a review of your product or a review of you as an expert or a review of your services or your business, even the things that people find in places like Yelp and on their Google Places pages. Testimonials, certainly from happy clients, provides, I think, some trust building. And then certainly articles that are read or found, written about you in publications that you don't control. In other words, third-party magazines, for instance, is a great example that publishes articles either that you wrote or that about your firm. I think all of those that's a type of content or group or bucket of content, I think, that we have to be producing or building into your overall editorial calendar or your content grid. Certainly, we need content that educates at a deeper level, and part of this can be educates about your story, about how you're different, about the benefits of your product or service, but then also going much deeper into white papers that really give, not, I'm not talking about the technical thing that people have, software folks have and hardware folks have used for years, but really gives them in-depth analysis about why they should do something or why they might consider an approach. Your methodology and why it's different. For example, you know, how your products and services are actually created and developed, and why they're created and developed. So these are all great educational pieces. Certainly a newsletter that's put out on a routine basis can deliver that kind of content. Webinars and in-person seminars certainly can, that are educational first and not sales events, can really provide content that's that educates. I think even the form of content that exists on your site in the form of FAQs that are just answers to the common questions that people ask is a great one. Survey data is actually, I think, can be very educational. It's also, I think, as much of this content does, it moves people maybe to the next level of content that closes or something, for example. So people love data. They love to see results. So surveys can be great content that educate. Customer-generated content, I think, is a great category. It, again, can educate. It can help build trust. But it's a different brand of content because it comes directly from the customer and in many ways can really provide proof or help provide proof. It's also a great way to move towards referrals. There are a couple tools that I like to use for these that you might give some consideration to. There's a tool called Woofoo that allows you to create forms, very easy forms. And one of the things that I would consider doing is creating a survey question for all of your clients that is something very simple like, you know, how likely one survey question, how likely is it that you would refer our business? Using a tool like Woofoo, you could create a form that's just a one-question form that asks, how likely is it that you would refer us? And so you would actually send this out to all your customers after a sale or after a period of time. And anybody that, and it would just have a scale of 1 to 10. And anybody that gave you a 9 or a 10, WooFoo could actually direct them to a form, another form where they could actually, you could ask them to leave a testimonial or describe, you know, why they would refer you. It can be a great way to generate content pretty much automatically. And then obviously anybody that scores under that or a 1 or a 2 or a 3, you know, you send them to another page or you send them to a sales or customer service person who immediately calls them up and says, hey, where did we let you down? Another great one is to actually hold an event, a party, a customer appreciation party, and bring in a video crew and ask people if they want to tell their story, their case study, their success story about working with your firm. You might also let them record some video of a few minutes themselves for a commercial type of thing to use on their website. A customer-generated content, I think, is a category that certainly, as I said before, you know, helps build trust, but I think it's also a great community building tool as well. Now, the fourth category, quite frankly, is other people's content. And I don't mean this as a way to suggest that you would just go out and rip people's content off. However, I do think that one of our jobs or one of the things that we can provide as a service in many cases is to filter and aggregate. If you read a lot of blogs, if you're on social networks where people share a lot of information, that I think that we can actually provide a service to customers by filtering out some of that. They're drowning in information. And so if we can take little bits of content or we can take the blogs that we read and provide snack size content or maybe provide insight about stories that are going on in the industry, I think that actually is a tremendously useful source of content. So you could actually republish people's content, share or retweet it. You could actually create custom RSS feeds that would be developed for maybe specifically for customers or at least for industries that some of your customers are in. You're curating content, just as I said, bringing together a collection of content related to a subject can be a very useful tool. There's a tool called Storify that I've started to use recently that just makes it really easy for you to put in categories of content, and it'll bring you YouTube videos and images and you know, even links from Twitter and Facebook. And so it can be kind of a great way for you to kind of put together almost like a publish a custom newsletter that can be embedded or can be sent as a link. So there are a lot of tools out there that actually taking that approach in content production, I think, is a very useful one as well. Now, the last form of content is sort of the moneymaker, right? It's the content that closes, that sells. And I think that few things beat, for many, many industries or for many, many types of businesses, few things beat in-person events for this type of thing. And again, that I would lump in the live streaming webinar kind of event as well. I think that having customer case studies, very detailed reviews of results that actual customers, I like to call them proof of results that actual customers have received. And that's the type of content that you really need to force yourself to go out and get. In some cases, we do the job, we do the work, we sell the product, and we really don't go back and find out. I mean, maybe the customer's thrilled. Maybe they continue to order from us or continue to do business with us. But I think you need to force yourself to start having what I call results reviews, where you actually will sit down with a customer and go over and help them understand the value that you've brought. But also, you determine and measure and maybe get a baseline, because I think it's one of those things that will actually help you in your own selling or in your own raising your prices because you've got those actual proven results. A lot of industries try to find ways to help a customer calculate. You know, and a lot of people call them ROI calculators or, you know, cost of service calculators, cost to switch. You know, some in many cases people, you know, try to develop content that or tools or widgets that really try to allow people to do that assessment. I think sometimes you can get a little bit complex or try to do too much with a tool like that. I like to tell people to really narrow their focus and their thinking to finding one or two areas where you can really simplify what if you did X? What would that mean to this little area of your business? And I think that in many cases, that's something people can wrap their heads around. A lot of times when people are doing a cost analysis or a return analysis, so many variables come into play that it's actually almost hard for them to trust their own instincts, let alone you as a vendor trying to provide content to them. But I think a lot of times if you can grab onto, hey, if you could get this return on this simple area, what would that mean to your business, to your life? And I think that for many people, that type of simple, whether we call it a calculator or not, but that simple taking and creating a very simple positioning for here's what this would do for you is content that I think actually will help you close the deal. So as you can see, you know, even though I've talked about this for only 15 minutes, I mean, this is an area that I think is you clearly have seeing how important it is just based on the amount of conversation that's out there. But this is also an area that I think we can all do more in, and it's certainly an area that has to be part of your overall marketing strategy. It's not just a tactical thing that you do because it gets you search engine results. It literally has to be a major, major foundational part of your business. So that's my take on content. I would love to hear if you listen to this and you have thoughts about it. Visit the blog at ducttapemarketing.com where I've actually embedded this. If you're listening just through the RSS feed, through iTunes or something, check out the actual content on the site too. I'd love to hear your comments and thoughts on this whole area of content and maybe the types of content that you're producing and that you found to be useful. All right, take care.